Really pleased to launch the Pacific Women Report last night. This is the first Pacific Women Shaping Pacific Development inaugural progress report. It builds upon the Leaders Declaration from a couple of years ago and provides an opportunity to stocktake the progress that's being made, what the areas of focus should be. We know, for example, that domestic violence continues to be a major issue in terms of Pacific Island countries, one that requires cultural change and concerted effort to help bring about the change required so that women and girls aren't the subject of domestic violence.
And what does the report say about the overall effort to advance the position of women and girls?
Well, we know that there's obviously a lot more work to do, but that notwithstanding, there has been some concrete progress made in terms of the economic empowerment of women and girls. We've had terrific success in relation to, for example, providing additional support services for those that are the subject of domestic violence. We've improved market access for those women that, for example, would like to be involved in the economy. And there's some great examples in Fiji and Suva, for example, with the Australian government's working together with United Nations Women to improve market vendor access and facilities at the Suva markets. And then, of course, there's also work being done in terms of formal training and formal qualifications for women and girls as well.
One of the examples with regards to violence against women that you point out in a speech you gave in Suva is the Samoa Victim Support Group. Are you able to tell us what's happening there?
This is a great group. It's an initiative that basically links together villages and communities across Samoa to provide, through the use of mobile phones, access to support services as well. We know that a lot of women feel isolated and the ability to be able to connect with other women, to connect as a community, is a key part of helping them to know that they have the support required to be able to move away from an environment in which they must be subject to abuse and to ongoing violence, and to actually incorporate support from other women, not only in terms of their own village, but more broadly than that as well.
You were in the Pacific, your last trip, just prior to the Paris summit. You went to the France-Oceania summit. What are your feelings from the reports you're seeing about the prospects of reaching a deal that will satisfy our Pacific neighbours?
Well, Australia, of course, is intent on being a strong advocate for the Pacific. Part of my advocacy at the French-Oceania Summit was to be supportive of the Pacific Island community in their aspiration for global warming to be limited to 1.5 degrees and certainly well below 2. We've, as a nation that is Australia, has been strong in putting forward that view that's shared by the Pacific Island community and our Pacific Island neighbours. We're hopeful that we'll be able to reach a resolution, obviously, in Paris, and that there'll be universal agreement in relation to the target and the objectives that are to be met. Australia is certainly doing its part. We have, on a per capita basis, the second highest reductions in CO2 emissions in the world, and that is a credit to the direction which Australia is going in, but it also signifies how serious we take this matter.
Some commentators have said there appeared to be some tension between some parts of the Pacific and Australia prior to the summit, most notably Fiji. Do you think attitudes, relationships have changed at all in the process of the lead up to COP21 and the negotiations going on at the moment?
I think, like all of these relationships, what matters is investing the time and the effort to build relationships further. I've been doing that since Malcolm Turnbull became Prime Minister, in my capacity now as Minister for International Development in the Pacific. I continue on a bilateral basis with all Pacific Island countries, but obviously also with Fiji, to go to your question, engaging and broadening and deepening the conversations that we have. I do think that Australia and Fiji obviously have a relationship that's gone from being rough and troubled into much smoother and calmer waters. Of course, there'll always be ongoing irritants in a bilateral relationship. That's always the way that any bilateral relationship is. But by putting a joint effort into strengthening the relationship and sharing common objectives, I'm confident that we'll see it go from strength to strength.